good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this, well, kind of cool Wednesday. It's
cool enough
degrees.
For a little hoodie, isn't it? You and I are both in hoodies this morning.
Yeah. I got up this morning and I said, well, I better put this on. And
yeah.
As I know, when I come in here, it's like an ice box.
Oh, yeah. Got to keep the equipment cool.
Yeah, I guess keep hot air, you know, from...
going out over the airways.
But, well, Bing Verbus, good to have you in
the
studio
today.
Glad to
be here this morning.
Of course. I know I told you when you come in, I said, it seems like it's been a month since you've been here. You know,
I mean, but, you quickly get into that weekly routine, and when you skip a week, it does seem like, wow. You know?
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever.
That's right. That's good, good to see you.
Good to have you with us this morning and everything.
I'm so happy with the weather we've been having, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There was a period there we were in the deluge. I didn't think it was ever going to stop raining, but God has you know, stopped all that, brought some sun. I've been in that garden, you know, the whole week and planting. I've got a lot of plants coming up, and I praise God every time I see a little seed sprout and a little green come up out of the ground. I'm thinking, man, you know, only God can do this. It reminds us of the resurrection.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you know, you're sown in this world corruptible.
Yeah.
And then you're raised out of this world incorruptible.
Yes.
And it's just a brand new creation
is
described.
Yes.
And you are a fruit-producing person after your rebirth, and only because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to get into the story of Resurrection Morning, which is, you know, is just about on us.
Uh-huh.
And I sent out a study to my prayer team in the last couple of weeks. It was talking about the last 21 hours of the last 24-hour day that Jesus was with his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through so much.
And
I'm sure everyone... who has read the story or seen the passion or seen all the things written about Jesus's trials and arrest and then death on the cross and the scourging, all that, are aware of these things. But past that, we go into that Sunday morning.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the events of this Sunday morning. And I think if we compare these scriptures, all the gospels together, all four gospels, and have them kind of intertwined and lay out a chronological order of the events. I think it'll be very interesting, and I hope everyone will stay tuned. When we get back, we'll...
Well, evidently that listening partner's not home and missed out on the Thank You Jesus friend raiser. That's not a problem. I think I'll just leave this message. Dear partner of Missionary Radio, I'm sorry we missed you, but that isn't a problem. Even though the on-air presentation of the friend raiser is over, you can still give, and please do. If you've already given, please know we are grateful. Thank you so much. Now, if you missed the friend raiser, here's what you can do. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and then fill out the digital faith pledge card and send it. While there, you can set up your giving through Cornerstone Payment System with your debit or credit card, or join the Firm Friend Club. You can send your faith pledge by mail to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241. P.S. I want to remind you that we are 100% listener funded and want to partner with you to keep Missionary Radio on the air till Jesus comes.
And welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio.
We're on the front porch. We're in our rockers looking out over the lawn, just saying, Lord, you make such a beautiful day.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Yes,
beautiful day. Beautiful day.
Before we get into the lesson, I just want to give a shout out to a friend of mine named Bonnie. And I just wanted to tell you that the Lord loves you, and you are a victor in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, we're going to start off with Luke 23:55, talking about the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. Now, in the scriptures, we see many, many women viewing the effects of the crucifixion, and they saw how his body was taken down off the cross. They saw how in haste, in great haste, he was wrapped. He had the spices put upon him, and then they saw how he was put into the grave by Joseph and Nicodemus. Now, according to the women, his body was not prepared properly, and that was something that they were determined to fix as they were viewing it from afar. Now, the next verse says, and they returned. So they returned from the sepulcher after he was put in and prepared spices and ointments, and it says they and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. All right. There were actually, I believe, there were actually two Sabbaths the women had to rest between Jesus' burial and Sunday morning. Now, we know Jesus asked the disciples to prepare the Passover meal in an upper room. Okay, these are events leading up to the crucifixion. We know Jesus eats the evening Passover meal with his disciples. We know he institutes the new covenant by the Last Supper and the breaking of bread and wine. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know Judas betrays Jesus. We know Jesus was arrested and brought to three trials and then convicted to death. We know Jesus is sent to Pilate in the morning, another trial. We know he is sent to Herod, another trial. And we know that he was presented to Pilate very early in the morning watch. I would say, if I know those Jewish leaders, right about 6 a.m., Now, we know also by the text that Jesus was put on the cross at 9 a.m., and we know Jesus died at 3 p.m., and we know a holy Sabbath will begin. The holy Sabbath, the first one the women have to observe, will begin at 6. So he died at 3, the holy Sabbath will begin at 6, and this is where, in this three-hour time, Joseph begs for Pilate for Jesus' body. Pilate sends soldiers there to verify Jesus is dead because he didn't believe Jesus died so quickly. Joseph removes Jesus from the cross, hastily prepares Jesus' body with spices and linen, and then places Jesus in his own nearby tomb because they couldn't take him far. Time was growing short. The first Sabbath day the women rested was a day after the Passover meal that Jesus shared the day before, which is a holy Sabbath, according to Leviticus. After viewing the last 3 hours of the day, Mary and several other women planned to meet back at the sepulcher very early Sunday morning to properly prepare Jesus' body. Mm-hmm. There could have been nine or more women who planned this, Brian. Matthew tells us in 27:55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among the many was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, mother of Zebedee's children. Mark tells us there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women, it tells us, which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Luke adds the name of Joanna. In Luke 24:10, Jesus' mother and Jesus' Aunt Mary, the wife of Cleophas, could have also been there, according to John 19:55. Now, we don't know for sure, but because they were near the cross during the waning hours of Wednesday, observing where Jesus was laid, the women would have returned to their homes and observed the entire next day, which I believe is Thursday. It was the Passover Sabbath that follows the Passover, and they stayed within their dwelling places. Friday, the day between the Passover Sabbath and the regular Jewish Sabbath that would follow, is the only day the women could have been able to go to town, purchase the linens, purchase the spices, and got everything in order and return to the tomb on Sunday morning. Meanwhile, when the chief priests and the Pharisees found out where Jesus' body had laid, Matthew 27:62 tells us this, "Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have your watch? Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, a watch is a guard of four soldiers, which were changed every 3 hours. We don't know how the stone was sealed, Brian, but because it was sealed with a Roman seal, if anyone were to go in there being bold enough to break it, they would be highly punishable under Roman law, probably killed by the soldiers. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. The chief priests and the Pharisees were the only people to remember what Jesus said would happen to his body after 3 days in the tomb. His disciples and the women who were repeatedly by Jesus told that this would happen never remembered his words. Starting before the sun came up in the morning of the first day of the week, which is what? Sunday.
Sunday.
The reason why Christians gather to worship the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday is because we, believers in Jesus, first discovered the tomb was empty early one Sunday morning when, before the sun came up, Mary Magdalene was first at the tomb. How do we know this? Because John 20, verse 1 says plainly, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So the sun was not up yet. Mm-hmm. It was still dark when Mary arrived. The tomb was open and empty. It already arose, but Mary didn't know that. We know the women agreed after they viewed how Jesus' body was laid in the tomb that they would meet at the sepulchre as soon as they could, which was early Sunday morning, but we'll find out they didn't come at the same time. Mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene got there first. Mark 16:2 says, and very early in the morning of the first day of the week, the other women came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. But according to John 21, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Now, Mary didn't know what happened before she got there. Mm-hmm. We know a Roman guard was posted at the tomb. We know there was a Roman seal placed on the stone of the tomb. We also know, because we were familiar with the Easter story, an angel appeared at the tomb, white as snow and lightning that night. Mm-hmm. The earth shook violently there. The Roman guard became as dead men when the angel appeared. Mm. And after the stone was rolled away, and after they saw the grave was empty, after they regained their senses, we know because Matthew 28:11 tells us this. Now when they, the guards, were going away from the tomb as fast as they can, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests and all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, had taken counsel, the elders gave a large money to the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we'll protect you. We'll persuade him and secure you, is what they said. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And it still is, folks. It still is. Now, we know the guards were indeed gone when Mary got there. And we know Mary and the other women expected to see a closed and sealed tomb when they got there early Sunday morning. How do we know that? Well, Mark 16:3 tells us what they were asking themselves as they approached the tomb that morning. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Mm-hmm. But when Mary got there, Brian, the stone was rolled
away. All right, rolled
there's,
away.
There's some songs about that, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there was no one around the tomb when Mary got there. No one to ask, what has happened here? Or who rolled away the stone? Or where is Jesus' body? Because when she got there, the soldiers were already in the city. It's never stated Mary entered the tomb when she was there the first time, but she had to have looked into the tomb and saw enough to realize that Jesus' body was not where it was placed by Joseph and Nicodemus just 3 days before when she was watching them hastily putting them there. Mm-hmm. What did Mary assume happened to Jesus' body at this point? Well, she knew it was missing, and we'll find out she thought it was taken by the word she later speaks to Jesus, and the possibility of a resurrection never crosses her mind at this point. Now, Mary then ran from the tomb to get help. Mary thought, I must tell Peter and John what's happened. How do we know that? Well, because John 20, verse 2 says this, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, "and saith unto them, They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him."
Mm-hmm.
Now, did she think the Roman soldiers removed Jesus' body by order of the Jewish leaders? Did she think the body had been stolen by grave robbers? We don't know. But we do know she runs back to the city to share this dreadful news to Peter and John. And after she found them, it was a foot race back to the tomb, because this is what she told him. He's gone. Jesus' body is not in the tomb. Now, the Bible tells us this. John got there first, and then Peter, with Mary trailing far behind. Still, mm-hmm. we have to assume all of this happened before sunrise, because the other women whom we were already told arrived at sunrise are never mentioned here yet. They're not there. When John got there, he did not enter the tomb. He viewed the grave clothes just as Mary viewed them earlier from outside the tomb looking in. And we're told in John 20, verse 5, "And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and he went not yet in." And this would be a good place to take a break and to listen to some just encouraging letters that we get from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, "I'm so thankful for Missionary Radio. Your selection of programming is excellent. The staff is to be commended for their faithfulness. Thank you for being a blessing to so many. May the Lord continue to bless each one of you and your ministry." From Clarksville, "God bless you all. Keep up God's work." And from Tennessee Ridge, "Thank you. I've been listening beginning in the early 80s. Your mission has blessed my life on a daily basis. May the Lord continue to bless others as it has me. I gladly support all you do."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
What a beautiful day it is. It's jumped up to 42. The sun's shining.
All right.
And it's going to be as nice as 69 today.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness, I can't wait. That'll be time to shed this.
Now, that 60-degree weather yesterday when I walked out with that wind blowing, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a bit chilly.
Yeah, it was kind of chilly.
We left off at John 25, where we saw John. He got to the sepulcher, he looked in, and he saw the linen clothes. He got there first, by the way. Why he says that, we don't know, but he made that a point to let everyone know who read this that he was quicker than Peter to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word "saw" in the Hebrew there is he physically saw them with his eyes, yet without understanding. He saw the linen clothes lying there. The body was truly gone, just as Mary told him. And when Peter arrived, Peter immediately went inside the tomb and beheld the linens lying empty. John 20, verse 6 says, "Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, lying not with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Peter was the first person to enter the empty tomb that morning. Peter saw the linens lying empty, as though the body simply disappeared in them. The headpiece was neatly folded apart. What Peter saw ruled out what Mary thought happened, grave robbery. Perhaps Peter was thinking how odd it was for someone to come in, steal the body of Jesus, while leaving the linen clothes so intact that the body would seem to still be in them, but not visible. The word "seeth" in this verse means Peter saw with his eyes, but Peter could not make sense of what he saw. Peter was still greatly confused. With Peter inside the sepulcher, John enters behind him. And in John 20, verse 8, then went in also the other disciples which came first to the sepulcher and saw and believed. That's what the text tells us. He saw and believed. Now, believed what? The word saw in the Hebrew here means he comprehended the significance of the way the empty clothes appeared. This would lead us to believe that John, the beloved apostle, may have been the first person to comprehend the possibility that something out of the ordinary has just occurred to Jesus' body. But he still, we know this, did not consider the resurrection of Jesus' body, because John 20, verse 9 says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead."
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on in their minds? Well, we don't know for sure, but we do know what these two men did next, because John 20, verse 10 tells us, "Then the disciples went away again to their own home." Therefore, if the other disciples, as they were going back to Jerusalem at this point, would have met other disciples, what would they have told them about Jesus' body? It didn't happen, but if they did, they would have said, "It's missing. It's been taken, and we don't know where." Meanwhile, Mary again reaches the tomb for the second time that morning, maybe just before Peter and John return to the city. Maybe Peter and John already left the sepulcher and passed her as she was making her way back. We don't know, but we do know Mary was there again, and this time all alone. And at this time, Mary sees something she didn't see before. And you know what she saw? She saw angels.
Mm-hmm.
John 20:11 tells us, "But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you've taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself at that and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. That's what you tell them, Mary. Not that I've been stolen, but you tell them that I've ascended. Now, after this encounter with Jesus, the next verse says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he'd spoken these things unto her. So we know Mary ran back to Jerusalem again, this time to tell the disciples what? Not that Jesus' body had been stolen like she did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But now she tells them, Jesus is risen from the dead. She would have said, I've seen him. He's alive. So just before sunrise, we see Mary running back to Jerusalem for the second time to bring the disciples wonderful news. Mary is the first person designated, Brian, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ that morning. Now, we can assume during this revelation of Mary's, the other women were gathering somewhere in the city, or maybe they were already on their way to the tomb, just as they planned to carry ointments and spices and linens for Jesus' body preparation. But this time, Mary Magdalene is the only one of the women who knew that wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't cross each other's path, because we know the women did arrive at the tomb just as they planned, prepared to anoint Jesus' body. When the other women got there, Mary was already gone. But the angels, who Mary had just spoken to, were still there. And you can find that story if you're following in Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, the women who were going to properly prepare Jesus' body, came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, the same two angels Mary spoke to earlier. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, they, the angel, said unto them, the women, the bowed down women, why, this is a beautiful, beautiful sentence in Scripture, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not here, but he has risen.
Amen.
Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But this is what you don't remember. And the third day, rise again. And they remembered his words,
mm-hmm,
and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to 11 to all the rest. Now Matthew 28:8 tells us, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples' word. Now, we see the other women were running back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what? The same thing Mary is telling them. He is risen. He's alive, just as he said. And that's how we can make sense of the following two verses in Luke 24, where it says this, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it says this, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. They all departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy after they saw the angels. They all had good news to tell the disciples, but Mary Magdalene happened to have had her revelation just a little before the other women had theirs. Mm-hmm. And Matthew 28:9 tells us, as the other women were heading back to Jerusalem, behold, Jesus met them,
yeah,
saying, all hail. And they came, and now listen to this, they held him by his feet and worshiped him. Now, why did Jesus allow these women to do to him what he did not allow Mary Magdalene to do to him earlier? He allowed these women to touch him. Why couldn't Mary Magdalene touch him when she saw Jesus? Well, we know, because Jesus told her at that point in time, don't touch me because I've not yet ascended to the Father. So we must assume, Brian, sometime between the encounter with Mary Magdalene and the encounter with the other women,
mm-hmm,
Jesus did ascend to the Father, and then Jesus did return back to the earth and was now able to be touched by human hands. And I'm going to leave off with this question. In our resurrected bodies, which will be the same as Jesus' resurrected body, will we be able to span the vastness of the universe in an instant as well? And I think that's something we can look forward to,
mm-hmm,
in the promise of the resurrection. And now,
Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Help.
What do you think about yourself in a full-length mirror? Well, let me tell you about my encounter with one of those full-length mirrors. Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and it was in 1969, just weeks after I was released from rehab. And one of the first things my friends wanted to do was take me to a shopping mall. As I powered my wheelchair past a few stores, I saw some great-looking sweaters on the mannequins. My friend took me into the dressing room where she slid the sweater on me. And I stared at the mirror, and it looked frumpy. And I knew that everything I'd try on that day would be just as disappointing. I left the mall a little envious of the mannequins. At least they were standing up. Clothes hung very nicely on them. Now, my problem wasn't clothes. It was the way I viewed myself in that mirror. When I was in that dressing room, I reasoned that if what I saw in the full-length mirror, me in a clunky wheelchair, if that was an example of God's love for me, then how could I trust him? But 2 Corinthians 10:12 has the answer. This is what it says, quote, when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are not wise. Friend, when you compare yourself with other people, like I was doing with those mannequins, you keep coming up short. When we reject God's design in making us the way we are, we will have trouble putting confidence in the one who designed us. And so, with a negative self-image, It's impossible to love God as well as love others. This was a real problem for me, putting so much focus on myself. I couldn't really like others because I was always comparing myself to them. Matthew chapter 19 says that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But if we cannot love ourselves the right way, it sure is going to be hard to love others in the right way. But then someone showed me Isaiah 45. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? That word of God nailed me. It struck a healthy fear of God in me. And so, slowly, I began yielding my life and my wheelchair to him. And over time, what a difference Jesus made, not only in my attitude toward myself, but to others. Friend, there is a reason God gave you the appearance you have. And according to Romans 8:28, it's a great reason. God intends to use your outward qualities to cultivate inward qualities that reflect Jesus. Things like humility and meekness, love, joy, gentleness, peace, goodness, and self-control. God will sacrifice the outward appearance and abilities in order to develop inward character. I mean, that's the story of my broken neck. So my wheelchair is now God's mark of ownership on me, constantly reminding me who I belong to. Ephesians 2 verse 10 puts it this way, we are God's workmanship. That means you are a work in progress. As you yield to your maker, you are becoming like Christ as you submit to him. Agree with God's design. And remember, he's not finished with you yet, so have hope. Hey, I share all this in a video that I have posted on my Facebook page, as well as on my radio page at johnnyradio.org. Because when you are content with who you are in Christ, then you are free to serve others and to glorify God by your satisfaction with his design. It's what a good self-image looks like, and you can learn more about it at johnnyradio.org.
We just wrapped up an amazing friend raiser,
and we couldn't have done it without you.
You heard the call, you answered, and you made a difference. Whether you gave big or small, your support is the reason we're able to continue sharing hope and encouragement with so many. If you missed out, there's still time to be a part of something incredible. Visit our website at missionary.radio and join us as we keep the momentum going. Your support matters now
more than ever.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Thank you.
And Bing, you're really shedding some good news this morning.
It's not me. The source comes from the Holy Bible.
Oh, I know, I know.
Yes, yes. Luke 24:11 tells us how the good news of the resurrection, speaking of good news, was first received by the disciples from the women. Mm-hmm. It says this, and there, speaking of the women's, words seemed to them as idle tales. And they, the disciples, believed them not. Wow. Wow. Now, we know women's testimonies were not taken as seriously in Jesus' day, even in the courts of law, than a man's testimony. Mm-hmm. If the angels, Brian, would have appeared unto a man, maybe his disciples would have listened. If this Bible were written by men in an effort to persuade people to believe the events of the resurrection and the good news, it seems those writers would have allowed the angels to appear unto men, which would make their words more believable. Mm. But the Bible is not written by men. It's not authored by men. It's written by God. These events were written to tell us exactly what happened that morning, whether it be believable or not.
That's right.
Now, why do you suppose the angels appeared to women and not men? Did the women have greater faith than the men? Did they have a greater love for Jesus than the men? Or was it as simple as they were the only ones who determined to be there at the sepulcher that morning, and it wasn't for their great love or their great faith? It was for the preparation. They were going to put Jesus' body away properly. But as the day drew on, Jesus did also appear unto men. This good news could not be contained. He first appeared to two disciples, Not of his original 12. These two disciples were from Emmaus, and that's where they were returning on the third day. They'd already heard the women's reports at this time about the sepulcher, and they were talking about all the events that happened since Jesus' death on the cross. If you wanted to look in the scripture, Luke 24:15 is where it's found. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus, now in his resurrected body, was walking along the same road and caught up with these two men. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, listen to this question, art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? It's everything that came to pass was because of this person walking beside them. Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying they had seen also a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, he takes them all the way back to Genesis, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he was going to go further, but the two disciples constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. So he tarried with them. It came to pass as he sat with meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And when he did that, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew it was Jesus.
Amen.
And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us about the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You can open the scriptures to people around you without having the Bible if you know it. That's mm-hmm. another thing that the Holy Spirit will give us as a weapon and a tool to bring the good news to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers. Now, even though it was evening when Jesus revealed himself to them and then disappeared, they immediately ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples the same message the women were telling them, Jesus is alive. But when they got there, the disciples in Jerusalem told them basically this, we already know. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. in Luke 24:34, they said, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And then in verse 35, and they, the two disciples from Emmaus, told the disciples in Jerusalem what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Now, according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we see there was an order in which Jesus appeared after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:4-8 says this, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, I want you to notice something in this outline of Paul's. The women are never mentioned here. And that he was seen of Cephas, speaking of Peter, then of the 12, including Matthias, who took Judas's place. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James. Now, James was the half-brother of Jesus. And then seen of all the apostles. And then Paul says, last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now, back to Luke 24:36. While the disciples were gathered with the two disciples from Emmaus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Wow. It's really, really hard to understand these things. But I'm sure we would have been in the same place. Mm-hmm. He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me, handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So Jesus was proving he was not a ghost, he was not a spirit. He was there in their midst in a body, a resurrected body,
yes,
which looked exactly like him. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, Jesus had become the first fruits of those who have died believing in Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians 15:21 tells us, for since by man, speaking of Adam, came death, by man, speaking of Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:39 tells us all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star. So, this is what it says in wrapping this up. So also is the resurrection of the dead. And we've mentioned this earlier. It's sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Mm-hmm. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Mm-hmm. Folks, I know your body's aching. I know your body's aging. I know your body's hurting today. It's prone to disease. But there is a spiritual body awaiting all who believe in Jesus Christ today. Amen. Jesus was standing in the midst of his disciples in a spiritual body, a resurrected body, also a body, he says, with flesh and bones. It's the same kind of body that we as believers in Jesus Christ will also one day receive. In Luke 24:40, we're told, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. So by showing his hands and his feet, he was proving to his disciples that he was the very same person they saw nailed to the cross and die just 3 days before. He was proving to them he truly conquered death. And one, death is our enemy.
Yes.
And we can never escape the enemy of death had it not been from what Jesus did on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 Corinthians 15:51, and I know we're getting near the end, tells us something we as believers can count on happening one day in the future. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die when this mystery occurs, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Brian, do you feel immortal today?
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
You have the spirit in you, which is immortal. And that is your seal to immortality.
Yes.
As soon as you breathe your last breath upon this earth, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what we're about to experience this Sunday and how we can reflect on just how miraculous a bent of the crucifixion to the resurrection is and what it means to all of us who believe and what it means to the world who reject that belief. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. By the power of the Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch.